offshoot, I hope you're going to talk about it, but I'm bothered about the conversation we had today. I'm bothered in that you said that my feelings are a lie, and that bothers me because I don't believe it.
You've talked about that before, haven't you?
Your feelings concerning...
In this case, particularly concerning Lexus.
Okay.
But I think also in general.
What's new on that? Did you talk with her about...
No, it has nothing to do with talking to her. It has to do with him telling me. In our conversation, one of the things I said was that my feelings are a lie.
Hebrews 4. Starting in Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he has said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day in this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works, and again, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, or Joshua, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The word rest somehow is connected a whole bunch of times with today. Well, it is still called today. Well, it is still called today. Rest, rest, enter into the rest. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. What does rest mean? It means a whole lot of things, but it means peace, absence of againstness, contentment, sanctuary, completeness, wholeness. It's what everybody tries to get when they go on vacation. Rest and relaxation. Leaving your own works. Rest, rest, rest. Peace, tranquility. Now, yeah, you can't have rest without certainty. All right, let me go on again. For the word of God is quick. The word quick there means alive. For the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, there is no place on the body where joints and marrow touch. You understand that?
I don't understand it.
You know
what that
would
imply?
Marrow, huh?
I never thought of that before.
Marrow is inside the bone. Joints are the place where two bones connect.
It's just, you know, blood touching the joint.
So marrow, when you read that, you really, what you read is that dividing asunder bone and marrow, but it doesn't say that. It says joints and marrow. So that gives us a hint that the distinction between marrow and joints, which is obvious, is no less distinct than the difference between soul and spirit. To the spiritual man, that which is soul and that which is spirit are just as different as that which is marrow and that which is joints. You understand that? And it is a discerner what happens about discerning? What's a discerner? Something that makes that which is secret revealed, open, understood. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, thoughts and intents are really a bad translation. It's more the reflections and conceptions. What's the difference between a reflection and a conception? Thought, intent. When you sit around and talk to yourself and you muse about something, it's a reflection. You're musing on this or this. But you can't muse very long without coming to a concept. You understand that? So this Word of God is a revealer or a discerner of the musings or reflections and the concepts of the heart. And when it says of the heart versus the mind, it means it's a spiritual language to tell you that they're talking not just about mental or intellectual things, they're talking about emotions. It's a revealer of the reflections and conceptions of the heart. Now, that's a biggie. Because you sit around and reflect on things of the heart. Why trimmest thou thy way to findest love? Right? If you don't have it, you run around, you're in your mind, you're trying to get it. If you do have it, you're figuring out how to improve it. When you're reflecting and musing, you come to conceptions. Now, reflections and conceptions, thoughts and intents, wouldn't be here unless they weren't valuable or weren't valid. I mean, they wouldn't be talked about in this context here. In other words, he wouldn't say, is a revealer and a discerner of the musings and conceptions that you have about God. You understand that? Okay. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, somehow now there is something called rest that we're supposed to labor to enter into, that is somehow connected to this thing called today, that we better enter that rest today if we're ever going to enter into it. And somehow it's tied to correcting misunderstandings or misreflections and misconceptions. Now, let's go to Hebrews 10 now. What? verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering sometimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from thenceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, in Hebrews 4 it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Here it talks about entering into the holiest or the holy of holies through a veil and then having boldness. Now, again, sitting down. The idea of the tabernacle in the wilderness, we don't have a picture of it here, but it was a particular structure that was the most mystery-laden structure that has ever been built on the earth. It went from a white linen outer curtain that surrounded it to a door, to a brazen altar where the sacrifices were burned, to a laver where the priests were washed, into a holy place where stood the candlestick and the showbread, and then through a veil into a holy place, a holy of holies, where the Ark of the Covenant and the cherubim stood. Now, you all haven't studied to the extent that Stealth has, but you've seen enough to know that that tabernacle was a schematic drawing of Jesus Christ. Not only was it a schematic drawing of Jesus, it was a schematic drawing of you. And somehow, by some hook or crook, you've got to enter into and live in the Holy of Holies, rather than living outward, outside the Holy of Holies, or outside the holy place, or living at the laver, or living at the altar. Now, for some of you, you still don't understand. You think that the tabernacle and the offerings of God were done with. They were part of the old covenant. What you don't see is that every single day you are making offerings at the burnt offering. At the altar of burnt offering. You're making sin offerings. You're making trespass offerings every day there. And you're doing it by regret. There's somehow some component here that the evidence that you've made a sin offering or a trespass offering is the component of regret or longing within your personalities. Do you understand that? Can you see that if you have a longing for or a regret of any situation, that in effect you are standing at the altar making some kind of an offering in order that you might gain that which you desire? Am I communicating? And so you are daily, you are just like the priests of old who stood daily making sacrifices, making offerings. Now, they're dumb offerings, just like, you know, you see vague pictures of this in all societies. You still see it, where they make human sacrifice for some cultures, where they, you know, kill all kinds of different animals to make some kind of an offering. Well, in the spirit, that's what you are doing when you are living in a state of regret or living in a state of longing. You are standing by an altar making an offering, just as certain as these priests did. Now, I'm not going to proceed any further until I'm sure you understand that. Being moon-faced over some concept or idea or person, or being emotional over that issue, is making an offering. You're still standing there making an offering. Some of you could not exist in thought. If you couldn't make an offering, you couldn't exist. You are so into it, you are so used to making offerings, that your whole identity is locked up in offerings. Mainly Matt. Matt could not live unless he could make those daily offerings. Harry's almost as bad. You understand me? You're just as if you were back before Christ, going into the temple, cutting something up and offering blood on the altar, offering a life on the altar. Always and ever, there is a longing and a regret. Longing for something to be different and regretting that something you did or didn't do. Always looking back. Always trying to picture better days, or lying to yourself and telling you past days were good. You're always and ever making an offering. And you're standing there daily making one offering after another. That's what you're doing spiritually. Remember when I said that all people, you should have gotten a hint at this. When I've told you before that all people are religious, that everyone prays constantly, everyone tithes all the time, well, everyone makes offerings all the time, everyone makes sacrifices all the time, everyone makes sin offerings, everyone makes trespass offerings, everyone makes peace and meal and burnt offerings. You do it internally, except that you're making the offerings to the wrong God. You're making all of those offerings to stupid gods. Now, my job is to make sure that you know that for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. My job is to take you and show you that you live in the veil, that the veil has been torn, and that you live only from the standpoint of the Holy of Holies, and therein you rest. Anything else is bullshit. And until you are at that same place, there can be no fellowship. There can only be offerings. And when you try to have a relationship with someone that's not even in the camp, then you're making offerings to demons. You're standing there daily, daily making offering after offering to your careers, to your relationships, to your dreams, to your ambitions. Offerings, offerings, offerings. And you're getting tired from carrying those stupid offerings wherever you go. And you're wondering why they're not accepted. Because they are filth and putrefying sores, and they're like that dead carcass you saw to anyone that can discern spirit. That's what your offerings look like. In your own little great moments of sincerity, you've just offered another dead cow with its guts eaten out by the worms of the spirit. But yet you and continue. Make another offering, then I'll be better. Make another offering, then I'll get what I want. Make another offering, then I won't have to regret. Make another offering, then I won't long. I don't care whether you call it emotion or intellect or soul. If you can see spirit, it all is the same. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul from spirit. Don't try to make any soul offerings here. Don't tell me, well, my emotions tell me the truth. Your emotions are simply the fire that you're making the offering, the phony offering on. Am I talking Greek or do you understand me? How can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, how can a body walk together except it be agreed? I'm sick of your offerings. God is sick of your offerings. Because by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And every priest, you remember it said you're priests? And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices over and over and over and over again. Now, the sacrifice that most of you are subject to is what you call your emotions. You love to make the offering of the emotion because it has as its component this wonderful word that once, if you are convinced, this is the biggest lie that Moloch ever foisted on you, that if you're sincere, you can get by. You've been taught to worship sincerity. And you get all pissed off at me when you're sincere with me. You know, I'll never forget, the biggest example of this is Larry Ferguson. He was all repentant and all sorry, and so he wanted to come over and wash my feet as his act of repentance. But it was an act of offering to the wrong God. I'm not his God. Well, that's what a lot of you do to each other, especially in relationships, especially married couples. You make an offering, and your offering is accepted. Do what? Talk to me about the sincerity. Talk to me about trusting your feelings. Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the God of the universe, by whom and of whom the universe was created, spent 3.5 years with 12 men. Then after his resurrection, he appeared unto them 3 different times. Not once did they recognize him. And they're sincerely emotional. If you sow to the flesh, is what you do. You might as well, that word might as well say, if you make an offering to the flesh, you will of that offering, of that flesh offering, reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life eternal. Today, life eternal, not sometime in the future, life eternal. And you'll walk in confidence and rest and certainty. And you know that your destiny is fulfilled. There won't be any need for any add-ons to your destiny. You love the add-ons. Aren't you tired of making offerings? I gotta be getting sickening by now. Am I communicating at all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you're talking about conclusions and you know, trusting your emotions, that's something that has just changed so much since Yom Kippur. You know, we went around the whole room and it was like everybody's conclusions about how they thought or who they thought they were or what other people's opinions were. They were all wrong. It's like, I don't really trust my conclusions about anything anymore. But not like, you know, like I think I'm stupid or worthless or anything, but it's just not, it's not the same.
Well, it's reflections. That's the thoughts when you're reflecting on things. And conceptions, that's the better translation of thoughts and intents, reflections and conceptions. Conception means something that you have conceived, that you have given birth to by this act of reflection. Now, to reflect on and to create conceptions is the normal thing that you've been taught to do ever since you've this whole thing started, since you're... Now, here comes this whole damn book here that says they're all wrong. Because they are from the wrong source. They can't be right because all of them are time dependent. There is not one thought or concept or opinion that you have that isn't time dependent. You understand what that means? Therefore, none of them can be right by definition. None of mine can be right either, don't get me wrong. I'm killing myself just as much as you. Now, especially feelings. I mean, if the reflections and conceptions of the heart and mind cannot by definition be valid, then feelings are in a whole nother, they're so far behind it isn't even possible because you're deceived. You know you're deceived daily by feelings. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. He that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works. Now, you got to begin to understand that somehow this is involved with position. It's not involved with, it's sphere of influence stuff. If you're down here in Egypt, where Maryland map is, if you're down in Egypt, then your perceptions of life are one thing. That's your sphere of influence. If you're moving towards, you're in the wilderness, perceptions and conceptions are different. If you're in Jerusalem, they're different than if you're at, you know, and as you move up, God wants you in one place and one place only. He wants the sphere of influence in your whole identity, the anchor of your being, for you to know that you are seated on the mercy seat under the wings of the cherubim. That you give credence to no thing of the flesh. The carnal mind is enmity against God. That means mortal enemy. That means one of them has to die. You understand enmity? Enmity is really bad news stuff. I mean, that's when you fight to the death. Okay, the carnal mind, which includes the emotions, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be, because it's fleshly. It's made up of the response of your emotions to stimuli, and they'll lie to you. The emotions will lie to you, your feelings will lie to you, and the sensory perception will lie to you. God says there's only one place to be. That's through the veil. You got to get through the veil into the holy place. We're here talking here about a concept of thinking, a way of thinking, a dimension of living, a rest that remaineth for you that you haven't even begun to see that it's possible for it to exist yet. You're still walking as men and making judgments as men. It's time to stop. To make judgments as men and walk as a man means to walk in as a Gentile. To make a judgment as a man and walk as a man means that for you Christ died in vain. In your daily life, the fact that Christ was born, died, and resurrected has absolutely no meaning to you. It doesn't matter. Why? Because the thoughts and intents of the heart are not positionally from the Holy of Holies, they're from outside the camp, and you walk as a Gentile walks. And you wonder why you get bored. Telling you that your way of thinking about things is in itself wrong. It's fundamentally wrong. And I want you to replace your way of thinking with my way of thinking. That would be equally fundamentally wrong. But I want you to see that there is a rest for you, and that any position other than that place of rest is a lie. And any stimulus that's pulling you away from that place of rest is not only a lie, but it's a guaranteed fact that it will lead to the same corruption that you saw in that dead carcass at Rick's Ranch. I don't care how lofty it sounds, I don't care how right it seems. If it's a position that's taking you away from the rest of God, it by definition must lead to that corruption. Now, what's your response to it then? Your response is very definitive. Am I communicating? Do you understand offerings? Do you understand they're sick, dumb, stupid, evil? I don't do it anymore then. Especially from Matt, from Lee. Lee loves her longings.
Oh, how many more?
Unreformed. Yeah, sure. Lee.
You can't.
And Hebrews 10, which you should be still there. Verse 18. Do all of you accept, at least as a viable possibility, that Jesus Christ is who he said he was? that he offered no, as a, you know, people say he was a great teacher. He was the world's worst teacher. He was a great humanitarian. He was the worst humanitarian. He had the, I mean, stop and think what he said. He said that all truth is invested in him. He didn't say, he didn't give you a way of doing stuff. It was his life. He claimed to have had an inside view of heaven. He claimed that the whole reason for the earth was because of him. The reason that everything exists, he's either a madman of the infinite order, or he's who he said he was. And if he's who he said he was, then we better start living like that. The word, his word, the prophecies concerning him in Jeremiah said that God would write his laws on your heart, and that he would place them in your mind, and that your sin and iniquity he would remember no more, and that by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Perfected. Perfected. Now comes the Antichrist, and his one way of proving or of making that sacrifice of none effect is to convince you and the world that you need to do at least one more thing, or you need at least one more thing. Because if you need at least one more thing, or if you have to have one more situation take place in your life, then the whole ball game is wrong. Understand? So he comes along and convinces you that you should trust your feelings. Or convinces you through your sincerity that you need just one more thing to take place. If you understand, can you see in the spirit how if you need to have one more thing happen, or you need one other thing, then by definition you can't be in this ball game. You have to be in that ball game. You can't be in both. Okay. In verse 18 it says, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. There's no more offering. Now, what about all these offerings you've been making? There's no more offering. There's no more trying. There are no more deals. There are no more alliances. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We don't get it in the English, but the sense there is habitually, that you habitually have the efficacy to always enter and to always be in the holiest of holies. It's like, it would be the same kind of thing as saying that because of gravity you live on earth. You understand? Because of the blood of Christ, you habitually can be in that throne. And it's by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Now, what I'm hopefully going to cause you to see is that if you understand those two verses, that will cause you to enter a new dimension of thinking. that you can never again think about stuff the way you have been thinking about stuff. Okay? By a new and living way. The better translation of that is having boldness for the entrance which he has opened for us, a new way and living. Now it's not a contrast between a new way and an old way. It's between a new way and no way. Every other way is closed. Can you understand that? There is no other way. There is no other offering. There is no other system of thought. There is no other order of procedures that can take place to cause anything but corruption to enter into your life. It's a new way which is living, and all other ways are closed to you. Now, that doesn't compute in your mind unless you begin to understand that all you have done throughout your entire life is make offerings to find a way. A way to what? A way to whatever it is that you think you want at any given moment. Because everything that you think you want has as its component salvation. You don't call it that because you have it a different language. But every time you think you need something, what you're asking for is salvation, and you're asking for salvation or deliverance from or to something through a way that is no way. Now, for some of you, you ask for deliverance and or salvation through relationships. That's what started this discussion this afternoon with Harry. You believe that you will achieve salvation through a relationship, or you will be delivered from something that you think is untenable through a relationship. What you're asking for spiritually, if you could see spirit, you would see that you were seeking the very salvation of God through another person. But you take the balls out of the request because the Antichrist doesn't want you to see that. So you castrate your own requests and make it, well, I'm just asking for this. God says he would that you were hot or cold. But since you're lukewarm, the reason you're lukewarm is that you've castrated the thing that you think you want to do. And so it can't be hot or cold or full-bore zeal or sloth. It's lukewarm. There's only two positions. That's why digitally we have, spirit is digital. The human mind is analog. Analog meaning progression up and down, degrees of understanding, less degrees of understanding, movement in and out through time. You understand? Spirit is on or off, because faith is on or off. You cannot be in a position with any component of your being in a state other than total zeal without being in a Gentile mind. God says if you're going to do it, if you're going to be in the Gentile mind, then go totally that way so you can see that it really is an off position. Everything about faith and everything about God is digital, on or off, black or white, hot or cold. Everything about your mind is safety. I won't let this go to that extreme. I'll just live in prudence. And that's why God said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and I've revealed them unto babes. You've been so prudent in everything. Reasonable. Prudent. You know what prudent means in the Greek? It means the ability to add one and one. Faith says zero to infinity, zero to abundance. From nothing to everything, instantly. From no understanding to perfect understanding, instantly. From no faith to faith, instantly. The mind looks, and Adam looks, and Gentiles look for the slow plodding. But you can never again be satisfied with any other position other than on or off. Now, the new and living way that he has prepared for us. The word new is a crazy word, and it's terrible. It shouldn't be translated new. It means fresh cut meat. It means it means having just had a kill, but the thing that you've killed looks just like it's alive. It's still steaming. It means that's what the word new means. In other words, it means a sacrifice that's ever ready. It's ever prepared. It's always just been sacrificed and just been resurrected. You understand that? A new, it doesn't mean new like versus old. It means new in its own state of being. It's always a new thing. You got it? It's the new way. But it's living. It's new way and living. Now, he's consecrated, and this, you understand that this is talking about the core of your being. It's talking about how you respond daily to stimuli. He has consecrated a new and living way for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. What that means is, by the act of his life, the veil was torn. And the moment he died, the veil in the temple, which was the model, was torn from the top to the bottom. But it also means the veil in you, the moment you know that you died at that instant, the veil in you is torn, and you then enter into the Holy of Holies. Because he has prepared the way, and as he is in this world, so are we. And your heritage is to live only on this new ground, this new way of thinking. You're never again permitted the stupidity of the Gentile mind. Because he has consecrated a new thing. You can never again live in a state of lukewarmness with regard to anything in your life. It's either on or off. Push everything to the limit, on or off. Now, you must understand there's no merit in finding out something is off. Understand that? Off means that you see its corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll have the Spirit reap eternal life. If you sow to the flesh, you'll have the flesh reap corruption. Let's see what it means. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. This is the very reason that the Son of God had to take on human flesh. He had to tabernacle in human flesh so that he experienced every possible temptation and every possible testing so that it would be complete in you now tonight. If there was some arena that he didn't experience, then his sacrifice, his offering is worthless. He didn't experience it by sympathy. He experienced it by empathy. You understand the difference? There is no condition that you can find yourself in that he has not already paid the price. And therefore, because he has paid the price for whatever situation you find yourself in, if you are still making an offering, then for you he died in vain, and you have to accept all of the law in order to get to the way.
What did you just say? He has already, by empathy, experienced every possible state. And what?
Pay the price.
What does that mean? I mean, he's experienced the state of paranoia. He's experienced the state of total fear, dejection, total aloneness, craziness, whatever.
And made it through it.
And made it through it. So therefore, it cannot be overpowering. It cannot overcome him because he has already overcome it.
Right. It can only overcome the evil one, which is already supposed to be overcome anyway.
So the response then to that feeling of being overwhelmed or overcome is...
Get thee behind me, Satan.
This can't be.
Get thee behind me, Satan. That's a lie. By one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Or he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Or I can never be separate from Father. Or I can never be separate from life.
Because that's already been completed, even in time.
In time and out of time. First Corinthians 10, verse 4. Second Corinthians 10, verse 4, I'm sorry. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. What that means, and I've said this a million times, and I'll probably have to say it once more. Is that whatsoever is troubling you cannot have anything to do with circumstances or another person. It has only to do with the judgments that you have made about those circumstances, with the conceptions that you have made about those circumstances.
And are not apprehending that he has already experienced those circumstances, overcome those circumstances, and the sacrifice has been made for those circumstances.
That's right. And that anything other than that is a lie. Whether that other thing resides from your feelings, from your emotions, from your intellect, or from someone else coming at you or against you or not with you or with you or whatever. The weapons of our warfare, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Get that down. Never forget that one. If you ever forget that, then you can always point the finger. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, flesh-related, but mighty. Now, that's the thing that you don't understand. In all the stuff that we've done vis-a-vis high place activity and high place identities and all of that, you still believe that the high places are going to win. Because you know how? I know that because you excuse activity. You excuse sloth. You understand?
Not really.
Faith says that it's my rightful inheritance to be at rest and in joy and at peace at every moment. Mind says, I need this or that, or this needs to take place. Or, I am satisfied with, quote unquote, not being in peace, not being at rest, and not being in joy. Because I am suffering. I am enduring. I am abiding. This is my test. I am being tested in this area. That's all a lie. Your flesh, my flesh, no flesh is to be ever again tested again. It's failed the test forever. Get that in your mind. Okay? Now, the weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's faith. Faith says there is no stronghold or war that can come against me because my weapons are greater than theirs. Casting down imaginations. Well, imaginations is what we just dealt with. And for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder bone from marrow, and I mean joints from marrow. And it is a discerner of the innermost reflections and conceptions of the heart. Reflections and conceptions, imaginations. I got it? Casting down imaginations in every high thing, or as we found out, that word is really high place, that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, and having, and this is where everyone here lacks, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Well, you can say, okay, my obedience isn't fulfilled, therefore I have no obligation of revenge. Well, that would be a nice one to try. What does it mean to cast down imaginations? What does it mean to revenge that disobedience? It means that you don't reflect on it for a minute. For a second. If your mind says you have a need for something more than you have at this instant, if you need an offer, if you think you have to make some offering, you're living a lie. Well, I don't know about this because I believe my emotions. Well, you'll believe your emotions in the depths of hell. I trust my emotions. They never lie to me. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What does that mean? It means not to allow this antichrist, this instead of Christ, that has set itself up in the temple to ever make you believe that you are in a state other than perfect peace and perfect rest. If this thing says, whether its source is in the emotional component or the intellect, if it says you need more than you have at this instant, or even want more than you have at this instant, confess it as sin. Say, get thee behind me, Satan. Otherwise, you're going to live as a victim of your emotional state. There's nothing that your emotional state would rather have you be than a victim. The purpose of your emotions is to put you in a category or in a state of being in which you can be a victim. In other words, because if you can be a victim, then you can't be a co-inheritor with Christ. That's the job of the Antichrist, and he does it really well. You think I'm just talking about psychological phenomena. I'm not. I'm talking about the warfare between the evil one, the Antichrist, and the Son of God himself. You're not even in the battle. I've searched up and down, inside out. I've never seen Daryl mentioned once in here. Never seen Harry mentioned once. I've seen only two men in the Bible, Jesus and Adam. You're only the battlefield. But the evil one is victorious if he makes you believe that you are you, that he is you. He's masquerading as an angel of light. You understand? If he's succeeded in causing you to think of yourself separate, then he's won. And he succeeded in causing you to think of yourself as separate from the source of life if either he's convinced you that you are you and therefore need something. I'm saying to you that every emotion, every desire of your heart, everything you think you want in this universe is fulfilled in Him. But the instant you think you need more than you have, then you're in a position other than waiting on Him, and you're dead meat because you believe you're separate. Casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience once your obedience is fulfilled. You don't give this any more breath. I said it probably 6 million times. But the reason you don't is because He has consecrated a new way tonight. And the new way allows you to boldly enter that throne, that mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim, and in that place you are finished, you are fulfilled, you are complete. Anything other than that is soul, I promise you. And soul is cursed. Aren't you tired of making offerings? It's been hard. It's hard to carry those big oxen around. And the sheep try to kick you in the naughty bulbous parts. Don't make any more offerings. By one offering, He is already perfected. Well, what happens if you don't feel perfected? That's a lie. What happens if you think you need something? That's a lie. Well, I think I'll just continue thinking like I am for now. Maybe I'll buy this, but I'll buy into this later. Your misery will become only deeper. He has consecrated a new and living way through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. That means literally that there is a new way for you to begin to think.
No, that's part of what's going on in me right now, which is a new way to think. You're not, or are you, describing a state that's thoughtless, feelingless, emotionless?
Well, it has to do with just
putting no thought into it.
When he's talking about discerning soul from spirit.
It's like saying, I'm not going to make offerings, so now I'm not going to do anything. That's not it.
Well, it's not like, you know, emotions are evil. That's what it is. Emotions are evil. That isn't it either.
It's the same statement that people used to say to me with regard.
Yeah, I know. That's why I hated to say it, but I got to go ahead and say it anyway, because that's what's going on.
What?
Well, you don't do anything under your own power, then you just sit in the corner and rot and recognize the efficacy of God.
You already tried to sit in the corner and say it anyway. It's almost impossible to do.
This is the true Lord's Prayer. John 17, well, it's the whole of chapter 17, but I'm going to start in verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou lovest me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The whole world lieth in deception. The deception is that you're separate from life, from the source of all life, and that you need something. The fact that you need something is the evidence that you are separate from the source. Do you understand? If the source were in you, you couldn't by definition need anything. The whole world lieth in deception. Now, we have a new way. Not new in time, as I said, not new versus old, but a new living way that we now have as a rightful inheritance, the ability to think on a 24-hour basis as though we were seated on the mercy seat. Anything else is a lie. Amen? No more dumb offerings. No more saying, well, you wouldn't say this out loud, but you would say, well, I think I'll ignore this and...
Until I lose 5 pounds. I mean, that's what you're saying. I mean...
Boy doesn't
need to
lose any weight.
Yes, he does. What? Yeah, I'm going to ignore this way of thinking until XYZ comes.
Yeah, until this happens or I get this.
Then I'll be okay.
Which is completely stupid since you have all things anyway.
Since those things never happen and you want plans never happen. Yeah. Well, and all that is offering another burnt, another offering.
So it's sort of like going in and robbing a bank you own. Yeah, it's like...
Anybody have any...
Yeah, the answer to the question I was trying to ask is the fruit of the Spirit.
What'd you say here?
Well, the answer to the question that I was trying to ask and wasn't even able to ask, which is what replaces all this bad stuff, is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience.
Yeah, let me show you something. I promise that we can't do this alone. The one next statement in Hebrews 10 has to do with don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the custom of some. And the implication there is daily. We can't do this alone. We're not, because as soon as we get in our different little arenas,
you start reflecting.
You will reflect. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I don't know of anybody who has thought about Scripture more than I do, thought about the implications of it. I mean, that's all I've done for 18 years. I'm not saying, but I'm saying that it will lead to a point in which the fruit of that which you're going towards is seen and felt and empathized as corruption. All your mind and emotions are capable of doing is producing that dead cow that we all, bananas field trip. Anybody not understand something we said tonight?
I'm so relieved I finally understood something we said tonight.
Do you understand, Harry?
Yeah, I understand.
I don't like it much. I sit here, as you asked me that, I sit here thinking, well then what does it mean to say to somebody I love you?
No.
What does that mean?
You see what I mean?
Nothing. So why do people get married here? Why are these two married? Why are these two married?
So we can get yelled at.
Well, answer the question. You already know the goddamn question. Now you're getting, you know, now you're making another kind of offering.
We know the answers.
What are the answer your own questions? Why do they get married?
I don't know. I mean, they just do it.
Why? Why did these get married?
To reveal the mystery.
What does? And you've said that with contempt.
Well, I mean,
is this poor Harry again?
Why not get married to reveal the mystery?
I mean, it's fine too.
Like Paul highly recommends that. Just.
Now, if you get it, just like everything
else. Yeah. Harry, you can spend now the rest of the evening and tomorrow going through making some more offerings. Or you can revenge with that disobedience. It's up to you. You can be now in a state of remorse and for me with 1,000 offerings. Or you can revenge it. You can continue in one, that old time way of thinking. Give me that old time religion. That's what you're asking for. The old time religion where you can be remorseful and regretful and long and sincere abidance and enduring and heroic efforts of imaginations. Or you can revenge it.
One thing you do know, even by your senses, is that that old way is not the new way.
That old way is not a way. It is no way.
It's the dead cow.
Yeah, never gotten anywhere.
Do you understand? That's the whole purpose of tonight, was to see that you have the power, the authority, the ability to revenge it now. Then pray for revenge. Pray that you would have the capacity to understand what was said tonight with clarity. Because what you did just before was simply to make another offering. You must see that. Everybody understand? Mm-hmm. Now that was a perfect object lesson. That was better than a dead cow field trip. I mean, you had to have seen and smelled that offering. You had to see what it made you feel like. It had to have the same revulsion that took place in you when you smelled that rotten cow, that maggot-infested cow. Well, that was a maggot-infested offering that he just made. Oh, well. Might be alive then. Oh, well, poor me. Now, does Harry have any alliances right now?
Are you kidding?
Oh, shit, it's Mr. Creosote. You're
the big fat guy from Mean the Blood. The guy who explodes.
Can you hear having in a readiness? That means HuffCon 6.
What does that mean?
And DEFCON 5 is nuclear war. HuffCon 6 means having in a readiness that's above the readiness of nuclear warfare to revenge that disobedience.
That's pretty ready.
HuffCon 4 is missiles out and poison.
5 is they've been launched.
So this is HuffCon 6.
6 is the explosion.
Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. That doesn't mean revenging somebody else's disobedience.
Doesn't mean we all go outside and beat the shit out of Harry.
Well, it could mean that.
Oh, yeah. It's for everybody else.
We call
Yeah, okay, that's it. Okay, we're going to get real spiritual now. We're going to lay hands on Harry.
Oh, God.
We're going to lay these hands on him.
And then begin to lay hands on
Harry. And sent him forth to Parkland Hospital. His ministry hit Parkland Emergency Room.
Lay your hands on this.
You hate when that happens.
Take a big guy.